We've been asking several questions this month of November about prayer. We've only scratched the surface. There's so much more we could talk about. But we've been talking about what prayer is and how we should pray and where we should pray and when we should pray. And last week we talked about who we are praying to and who do we think we are that we can talk to the Creator of the universe. And that left us with one question that we're going to deal with today. The final question, why? Why pray? And I raise this question in particular because in our culture today, that is a very pressing question. I've heard even from people close to me, you know, why should we pray? Prayer doesn't do any good. Every time there's a disaster or a mass shooting and a legislator stands on the floor of the House and says, our prayers are with them, there's always someone that says, don't give them your prayers, pass a law that'll make this illegal, as if that's going to help. The Bible tells us all law does is tell us what's wrong. It can't make us into good people. We should know that more than most people. But so we're going to ask why. And that question, why, includes a lot of other questions. What needs are there that we are praying for? Well, we pray for forgiveness when we sin. And we're promised that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us. We also believe that through His Spirit, He will strengthen us to resist temptation better the next time we find ourselves tempted. We pray to share a need. That's one reason we have our prayer list in the bulletin. Everyone on that list has some need or other. Some are desperate needs. Some people have cancer. Some people are nearing the end of their lives. Other needs are more ongoing. The challenges of teaching, the challenges of serving in the military. We share the needs of others, and in our private prayers, we share our own needs with God. We ask for what we think we need or want. We pray to express joy or thanksgiving. We call that praise. But there's another aspect to the question of why. We also need to ask, why am I praying? That is, what reasons do I have, aside from the needs I'm addressing? Why address those needs through prayer? Aren't there other ways that we can do that? People have all kinds of reasons for praying as a way of making their needs known to God. Some people look at prayer as a way of counseling God, if you can believe that, advising Him on how He can help with the needs that we're raising. I've tried that. For some reason, I find that God doesn't seem to need my advice. He certainly doesn't take it as often as I might think I'd like Him to. Some people view praying as a way of trying to get God to change His mind. We're facing a situation, and we believe that God, nothing is by accident. God has allowed this situation into my life, and so we want to change His mind and tell Him, you don't really need to do this. I can be thankful without suffering. I can remember how much I need you without you putting a need in my life that's beyond my abilities. But that really raises a question for the Christian. And again, the question is, why pray? That is, does God really need for me to tell Him what my problems are? Or what problems other people have? I hear this from Christians all the time. If God is sovereign, He's already decided what He's going to do. why should I think that by praying it would make anything different? In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, God already knows what you need. He's saying that as a way of encouraging us to be confident that God cares for us. Of course, when you're experiencing a need and the need doesn't go away and someone says, God knows what you need, then you're like, he does? Then why is this happening to me? So why should we pray if God already knows what we need and what those we are praying for need? And there's an answer to that question that the Bible gives us. Because in the same sermon in which Jesus says that God already knows what you need before you ask him, he says, ask and keep on asking and you'll receive. Seek and keep on seeking and you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Why do we pray? We pray because he invites us to. I could say he commands us to, but it's really more of an invitation than a command. Why should we pray? Does God really need my advice? If I view praying as a way of sharing my perspective with God, does he really need that? Do we need to schedule a meeting and put it on our calendars this morning at 9 o'clock? I get together with God and together we solve the problems of the world. I do that every Wednesday with my cousins. We get together at our board meeting. I stop at Dunkin' Donuts. I get some coffee and donuts for the group. We meet and we solve all the world's problems. In fact, that's why the world is falling apart right now. Because for the last several weeks, my cousin Dave hasn't been able to make it to the board meetings. And I guess God really misses his advice, doesn't he? I don't think so. In fact, in the book of Romans, the Romans doxology that we sometimes sing as a chorus, Paul says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, how fathomless his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who could be his counselor? Who has first given to God that God needs to repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever. Amen. So if God doesn't need my advice, why should I pray and offer my advice to him? Why should I give him my opinions when he doesn't need my opinions? Well, there's a very simple reason why. Because he invites us to. He views prayer as conversation, and this is how we get to know each other. I don't think it's so much how he gets to know me, as much as it is my opportunity to get to know him better. But why should I pray? Does God need for me to ask him for what I need? There are people who say, God would give us everything if only we would ask. I think Joel Osteen has made a living preaching about that and saying what James said in the fourth chapter of his letter that we just finished studying, you don't have because you don't ask. So all you'd have to do is, how do they put it? Name it and claim it. I'm not so sure. But I do wonder sometimes, if God knows what I need, And he knows the needs of those I'm praying for. And he is a loving father. Then why do I need to ask him for anything? In fact, in that same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that God gives us everything we need. In fact, not only to us as children, but to everyone. He causes the sun to rise on the evil as well as the good. And he sends his rain to fall on the fields of the righteous and the unrighteous. Why then do I need to pray? Why don't I just every day reap the benefits of being a child of the loving Father? And I find several reasons why we should pray. First of all, he promises peace if we share the things that make us anxious. Remember those words from Philippians? Don't be anxious about anything, but instead, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And God will give you what you want. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think that's in there. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's not a promise that we'll get everything we want. It's a promise that if we share our needs with God, in the process of sharing our needs, we will experience his comfort and his presence. In fact, Paul goes on to say, if you really want to experience his presence, then take a look at this thing on the top of your shoulders. Ask yourself, what kind of things do I think about? What kind of things do I entertain myself with? What kind of things do I find exciting or interesting? And Paul advises us to train the brain to think on things that are true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. If you think about these things, now here comes a promise. If you put into practice the way the Bible tells you to live, not only will the peace of God be with you, but the God of peace will be with you. And every time I turn on the television and scroll through the guide that tells me what programs are on, I find out how little there is in modern entertainment that matches any of these categories. And then I think of how much I pay for the cable bill. And I think, well, maybe it's just a waste of money. Why do we pray for what we need when God already knows? Because he does promise that if we ask, we'll receive. For what father among you, Jesus says, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, would he give him a scorpion? If you then, although you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to those who ask him? Specifically, How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks Him? Why should I pray for what I need if God already knows? Well, it makes me mindful of what I need. It's one thing to say I'm needy. It's another thing to sit down and actually think about what I need. If God could give me three things, what three things would I ask for? Not world peace, none of that, you know. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. If God could give to me three things for my life, what would I ask for? Have you ever taken that promise seriously? I have. And you know what I've found? I've found that the things I'm most thankful for are the things that I told God I really needed, and He didn't give them to me. What prayer does is it focuses our thinking. It makes us realize what God has already given us. As we begin to realize that every good thing in our lives, in one way or another, comes from God. There's another reason we should ask God for what we need. That's because He invites us to. Is that getting a little bit monotonous? I've said that to every question that I've raised. Why pray? Because God invites us to. I don't know how it works. The Bible talks a little bit about how it works. It talks about what you can think about when you don't get answers to your prayer. Remember, James said, you know, you don't have because you don't ask. If you ask and don't receive, maybe it's because you're asking for the wrong reasons. There are other places in Scripture that advise us on what makes prayer more powerful and what robs it of its power. But the bottom line is, we pray because God invites us to pray. In fact, sometimes He comes right out and tells us that there are some things in our lives that we will not receive unless we ask for them. Salvation's one. He offers it to us, but He doesn't give it to us. He offers it to us, we have to respond by asking to receive it. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus says this. In the story of the prodigal son or the lost brother, the prodigal comes home and the father celebrates and the elder son refuses to join the celebration. Why? Well, his father comes out and asks him, why don't you come in and join the party? And what does the older brother say? Look, all these years I've worked and I've slaved and I've never disobeyed your commands. He's probably telling the truth. Yet you never even gave me a goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he's disowned him as a brother. When this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. What does the father say in return? Some of the saddest words in the Bible. Son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. If you never celebrated with a goat, maybe it's because You never took a goat from your flocks. If you never had a party with your friends, maybe it's because you never asked me to throw them a party. There are some things, if we want them, we have to ask for them. What is it that Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians? Now to him who by the power that is working within us is able to do for us beyond all that we can ask or think. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And again, the words of James echo in my mind. You don't have because you don't ask. Do we ask and not receive sometimes? Do we receive without asking sometimes? Does God invite us to ask? All the time. Now, I said earlier that one reason we pray is because we're trying to get God to change his mind. In spite of the fact that the Bible tells us God is not a man and he doesn't change his mind. But wait a minute. I'm born into this life with a sentence of death hanging over my head. And if nothing changes, that sentence will be pronounced when I stand before God's throne after I die. But if I humble myself before God and confess my sins, the Bible says not only will he forgive me, which is a change of mind, but he will rejoice to forgive me. He will enjoy forgiving me. He will delight in forgiving me. As he said often through the prophet Ezekiel, I don't desire the destruction of anybody. I long for them to repent so I can save them. And again, in spite of the promise in the Bible that God does not change his mind, we have that strange story of King Hezekiah. Remember that? Isaiah came to the king and he said, God sent me to you with a message. Get your house in order. You're sick, and the sickness that you have is going to end in death. And God is giving you just a little bit of time to get your affairs in order. And Isaiah left his presence. And Hezekiah took his word seriously. And he began to cry. Not just to cry, to sob. And as he was pouring out his tears, he poured out his heart to God. And he said, oh Lord, I'm still so young. There's still so much that I can do as king. I've tried to be faithful to you. I've tried to hold this nation together while we're being threatened by the Assyrians who have surrounded Jerusalem and tried to destroy it. Eventually, he ran out of words and he just sobbed. And as I remember the story, I may not be remembering it quite right, but as I remember the story, Isaiah didn't even get out of the palace before God's word came to him and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him, I have seen your tears and I have heard your prayers and I'll give you another 15 years. Now, if that's not a change, I don't know what is. Why is it that God changed his mind when the Bible says God doesn't change his mind? I think there are two reasons. One reason is because he wants us to believe that praying to him can make a difference, because it can. And another thing I think God is trying to show us is that when God changes his mind, he never changes his mind from deciding to help us to deciding to hurt us. He always changes his mind from deciding to punish us to deciding to forgive us. Any change, at least any appearance of change, that comes about because of prayer is a change from curse to blessing, from hardship to blessing. In that way, God does change his mind. Well, how can I know if God will be willing to change his mind if I just pray to him? Well, one sure way of finding out is to pray. And he invites us to pray. He doesn't care how impossible the prayer sounds. He doesn't care about all the reasons we can come up with in our mind why it doesn't make sense to pray. If we're willing to listen to his invitation, and if we are willing to take advantage of it and believe that there's even a chance that God might hear my prayer and give me what I'm asking, why would I not pray? In short, I pray because Jesus says, ask and keep on asking. And so I will. One final question. As we come to the end of this very inadequate study on prayer, it's a question I hear quite often. We've been talking about why we should pray and the reasons we have for praying. There's always someone who will ask me the question, but Pastor Dave, is it right for me to pray for? And then in any number of possibilities. Is it right for me to pray for my father who has died and I don't think he was a believer? Does it make any sense to pray that you might still find a way to save him? Or is it wrong to pray for something that my mind tells me there is no possibility of it happening? I'd like to answer that question by sharing with you a very brief story of something that happened to me a few years ago. We were sitting at the town tavern, Tammy and me and Matthew and Megan probably, and I think even John and B. Hess were with us. It just so happened that day, the British Open was being played on television. And the TV was up on the screen. They were on the last hole. And my favorite golfer of all time was 4 feet away from winning the British Open at the age of, I think, 45 or 46, the oldest person to win a major in golf history. He had a 4-foot putt All he had to do was sink that putt and he'd win. But if he missed it, there was someone lurking in the sidelines who had already come in with a score one stroke behind. And unfortunately, for the last part of his career, Tom Watson had a reputation for missing 4-foot putts. He could make them from 20 feet. He could make them from 30 feet. But 4 feet, not always. So I thought he could use my prayers. So while we're sitting there having great conversation, all of a sudden I got quiet and I'm praying, Lord, help him make this putt, make this putt, make this putt. And he missed it. That much. And I had a notion to say, did I not pray hard enough? And I heard God say to me, now Dave, you know the rules. No praying for the outcome of sporting events. So what happened last year? The Philadelphia Union was in the playoffs for the championship. They were in overtime. And for the first time in the whole game, with only 2 minutes left in overtime, they scored a goal that put them ahead. Unfortunately, in soccer, in overtime, it's not sudden death. In overtime, you play out the whole period. 2 minutes left. They're a man up on the other team. I thought to myself, they don't even need my prayers. They can do this themselves. And then I thought, but just to be safe, Lord, help them get through these next 2 minutes. Next 2 minutes. That's all we need. 2 minutes. About a half a minute later, the other team scored a goal. Put it into overtime. And the Union lost terribly. Not overtime, but a shootout. And they lost like 4-1 in the shootout. God did not tell me not to pray for sporting events. He simply reminded me that he is not obligated to do what I pray for. And that is a very comforting thought. Because that thought, to realize that just because I pray for something does not obligate God to do it, totally eliminates the question, is it right to pray for? Because if my prayers don't obligate God, if my prayers are just a way of opening my heart to God, what difference does it make whether I say, Lord, I really hope they win, or to say, Lord, could you help them win? Is there anything we should not pray for? There are things that if we pray for them or don't pray for them, it's not going to make any difference. There are things that if we pray for them, we're not going to get them anyway. But it's never wrong to share your heart with God. Don't listen to the voice that says to you, God's too busy. God doesn't care about this. God will get angry if I waste his time with something I shouldn't be praying for in the first place. Don't listen. God invites us to pray because he wants us to open our heart to him. Not so that he can see what is in our heart, but so that by opening our heart, we can actually know that God loves us and that he cares about us, even if he doesn't give us what we ask for. Why pray? There's one simple answer. We pray because God invites us to. And an invitation like that should not be allowed to go to waste. Heavenly Father, you really do love us. I know that you love me because through the years you have put up with all kinds of crazy prayers. Prayers that as I grew in my faith, I realized I probably never should have prayed. But you didn't penalize me. You didn't punish me for praying for something I shouldn't pray for. Like a loving father, you embraced me and you whispered in my ear, "I love you, David, even if you don't get what you ask for." And while I'm at it, Father, I thank you. Not only for the things I prayed for that I received, but I thank you even more for the things I prayed for that you were wise and loving enough to know I shouldn't have. Thank you, Father, for giving me prayer as a way of getting to know you. Through Christ we pray. Amen.